everyone. Welcome to another episode of So NWA, the podcast about serving others in Northwest Arkansas.
That's right, everybody. We're your hosts, Juan Carlos and Enrique. We're both proud natives of Northwest Arkansas. Growing up here, we have witnessed this community grow and change, and we're here to share those stories and connect with the people that are shaping our future.
Definitely. Each episode, we sit down with the movers, makers, and everyday legends who are shaping life in the Ozarks. We're talking about anything from real estate to local restaurants to local legends to hidden gems. We love sharing the stories of the people who make this community truly special, one episode at a time.
Absolutely, guys. So whether you're from here or you're new to the area or you just want to hear a good story, you're in the right place. So let's go ahead and get into today's episode.
Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a special guest with us. He is the mayor of Rogers, serving his fourth term as mayor. Rogers has seen remarkable growth and revitalization under his leadership as mayor. Since taking office in 2011, he has overseen major projects like the downtown revitalization and the creation of the Rail Yard Entertainment District. After the devastating 2024 tornado, Mayor Hines played a key role in coordinating recovery and rebuilding efforts. As he approaches the end of his fourth term, his commitment to economic development and community engagement continues to shape the future of Rogers. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are honored to have Mayor Greg Hines as our guest. Please give a warm welcome to him.
Thank you. Thank you. It's glad to be here with you today and excited to get into this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. We had been talking maybe, I think, for the past week, and we're both very excited. We were looking forward because whenever I initially moved to Arkansas, it was here in Rogers. And so we've been pretty excited to have the opportunity to sit down with you. So thank you for your time, Mr. Greg Hines. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Definitely. It's such an honor and a privilege. So thank you for that. But as always, gentlemen, what's been going on? We'll start with Mayor Hines. What's new in this week for you?
Yeah, no, things are good. I've been traveling the last couple of weeks, so it's glad to be home. And just got my baby home from college for about 3 weeks, and looking forward to a great 4th of July and spending some time with family around those festivities.
That's cool. That's cool. 3 weeks, huh?
Yeah,
4th of July is coming up, and I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be a good one. I'm hoping it's not too hot, right?
But well, we from my perspective, we'd like for us to get maybe one more good little rain in beforehand, because the biggest concern for us, of course, is public safety. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a dry spell, it makes that conversation with the community about shooting off fireworks much more dangerous.
What is usually the best way that you guys go about letting the public know? Is it through just your social media pages? You do maybe something on the TV or?
Yeah. So the vast majority would be real time social media. But certainly anything as large as a community event where we're gathering for 4th of July or for the city fireworks parade, and or trying to just let the public know what the expectations are mm-hmm. about shooting fireworks personally at your residence, we rely heavily on local media for mm-hmm. that, because it's the continuity of the conversation, right? I mean, the fact is that more than 50% of the people that live in Northwest Arkansas did not grow up here. And so if you're in that scenario, you've got to assume that most of these people really don't even know where city limits end and begin. So that's one of the biggest struggles I think probably our local media has a responsibility to try to do is to take all these rules from the four big cities and help people understand why they aren't all the same.
Yeah, I think making that distinction right between every city and every county, I think, is pretty important, especially when it comes to, you know, those dry waves or spells that we've got, especially mm-hmm. for public safety. Because I remember one year, my brother-in-laws, they were younger at the time, they were shooting fireworks in front of their house, their parents' house. And, you know, they say, don't throw your fireworks in the trash until maybe the next day or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. They threw them in the trash maybe the next 2 hours, an hour that they were there. And the trash bin literally caught on fire. And part of their siding also caught a little bit of fire. Oh, so
expensive, tough lesson learned.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. One of the neighbors had to run and they're like, your house on fire. Turn it off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree. Letting people know about safety is definitely important.
Was that your, you say, did you say it was your little brother?
My fiance's thinking of Diego. Younger brother. No, Diego, no. My dad would definitely give him a lesson for sure. He'd definitely get him a good lesson on not throwing the one. Yeah.
Come here.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, yeah. That's, Enrique, how about you, man? What's going on with life? What have this week, man?
Oh, man, life is good, man. Just still renovating the property that we've got in Avoca. We're almost done. Very minor things now. I'm meeting with a buyer after this. First-time buyer. He wants to maybe invest in a property with his brother. I don't know if he's an older or younger brother, but nonetheless with a family member, which is nice. Mm-hmm. How often can you say, hey, I want to buy a property with my brother, right? So I'm looking forward to that conversation. How about you? Anything new with you, Juan Carlos? What you got going on?
I got some family in town. As you know, as the audience may know, but Greg may not know, but we're hosting our baby shower this weekend. Yeah. So my wife and I were expecting in September. Thank you. And so I have some family coming into town this week and kind of show them around town. They were last year, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Okay. So as we all know, in that time, the town has definitely changed. So now I gotta take them to these new spots, these new cool spots around town and everything like that. So I'm excited to have them in here, trying to convince them to move here. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll
sounds
see.
Awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Mayor Hines, so we got some questions for you. Yeah. Here we go. Kind of rapid fire questions. Favorite Razorback sport?
That's tough. I'm a football guy. Okay. I played football, but I'd say I'm probably a bigger baseball fan now than I am football.
Okay. We won't talk about the previous game, but
it's been hard. It's been hard.
But that's okay. I got you. All right. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Early bird or night owl?
Night owl.
Night owl, really? Okay. He's out at night.
Huh? I've never liked mornings. I mean, you know, when I was a police officer in the uniform division, you know, we had to work shift work. Mm-hmm. So you work days, evenings, and mids. And I would get on the morning shift and of course have to be up at 4 o'clock to get my uniform ready and polish all the brass and get into the... And you know, I'd get used to it from an aspect of showing up and functioning, but I never liked 1 minute of it. So, no, not
an early, right. Late not an night, early late person. Night. Last show you binged watch? Or even one that you're doing now?
Yeah, so the last one that I binge watched was Alpha House.
Alpha House, okay.
It started on Prime... But it's amazing. It's just two seasons. There's several actors that are pretty top notch. But it's about these four guys sharing a flat in DC and they're all United States senators and they're all insane. and what's funny is that, you know, it's funny, but it is so realistic.
If you want
to watch what I might call a docudrama that wasn't intended to be a docu, Alpha House gives you a pretty good insight into what a U.S. senator's life might be like.
That's pretty fun. Do you find it some relatability with the show a little bit?
Yeah. Really only so much in that when I go to D.C., I like in going to D.C. kind of like going to Las Vegas that, you know, after about 48 hours, you need to get the hell out of there because bad things are going to start happening. So Washington and Vegas are about the same to me.
There it is. Oh,
man, that's funny.
And it's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime. There you go.
Yeah. Where are we at here? Oh, hidden talent. What do we got?
Gosh. That's a really interesting question.
Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
So yeah, so you know, I would say like my hidden talent is if you were to ask like my kids and my wife,
okay,
yeah, it would just be that an innate ability to predict outcomes in your environment in your lived experience, and so like my kids didn't stub their toes until they moved out of my house. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that sort of that police mentality, that protector, that I want to foresee what accidents or bad outcomes could happen in our future or just 10 steps ahead of us and to back up and save us from that sort of environment. So that's my special magic skill.
I totally get that. I like it. Favorite local tradition or event here?
So, you know, I would say right now that it's the LPGA golf tournament.
Cool.
You know, golf's close to my heart. And that space that it's on, my grandparents were early residents at Pinnacle, early members. So I grew up playing on that golf. So like I was playing out there before the clubhouse was ever built. It was like a double wide trailer, but that we've had 30 year runs of festivals, you know, that lasted. Frisco Festival was one of them, in downtown Rogers. And I have great fond memories of that as a kid. I have fond memories as a young adult. Honestly, the last 8 or so years it was in existence, I don't have a lot of fond memories about it. Mm. Because it had just really become a carnival with a bunch of cheap trinkets for sale.
I see.
And when I was a kid, it was about community. Mm. And so I think it just lived its life. And I think that's what happens with events and festivals and those sorts of things, is that they begin for a reason that's very, very valid and very heartwarming for a community. Mm-hmm. But when you try to push those things past their sort of organic life, at some point you're just going to be like, okay, we either need to reinvent this thing or we need to stop trying so. Because let's just be honest, you got 150, 200 people in the community spending, you know, 2 weeks of their life planning for, bringing together actual execution, and none of them want to do it. Mm. They're not happy.
Yeah.
We're just doing it because this is what we do.
I see.
And I'm not really up for that anymore. I'm past that point in life.
Do you think there's a way to kind of maybe bring it back to where it was while you were a kid, make it more based about community?
No, you can. But my challenge to the community when, you know, Frisco Festival went away during COVID, you know, anytime you have something as terrible as COVID was, anything like that, you want to try to find. Don't waste those moments, right? Mm-hmm. And that was one of those things. It was like Frisco Festival's been sort of, you know, it's got one foot in the grave and one foot on a banana peel and has just been kind of, you know, sliding around for a few years. And then we have COVID. It's like, I'm sorry, Frisco took COVID from us, you know, or COVID took Frisco. And so going forward, you have this awesome space in downtown that's programmable by the weekend. Why do you need one event where you try to bring all of the community? And let's just be honest, I mean, the last decade or so, it was really not bringing the Rogers community together as much as it was bringing the county into the city.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
To enjoy a carnival type festival. Mm-hmm. So I just think that moving forward is that you have these great created public spaces that are programmable at any time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to move anything. It's already staged for community events. Let them organically happen. If somebody wants to do a wine and cheese fest or something like that, that's great. Things around music, culture, food, those are real experiences.
Right.
Your homemade beads that you're selling me a necklace for. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they're great. Maybe they are. And maybe people want them.
Right.
It's not an experience that I'm willing to leave my home and go spend, you know, $20 on a turkey leg and a funnel cake. Like that, to me, that's just not where it's at. And I think we have a better opportunity going forward.
That's a fair take.
Yeah, that definitely is.
If you said, hey, there's this craft beer, and oh, by the way, the culinary department at NWAC, you know, for the last month, they've made their own bratwurst. And so, like, you've got this, you know, amazing, and they made all the condiments out of, you know, naturally grown source stuff. And so you're going to get to go have this bratwurst with local grown and maybe a craft beer.
Yep.
Like that's an experience that I'm like, okay, I'll get off the couch for that.
Try it out. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There you go. It's a nice hot take. I like it.
Yeah.
I do like it.
All right. Last one. Something that surprises people that they don't know about you.
So I think probably the most raw answer to that question would be, that I suffer from a little bit of John Boehnerism, I call it, in that it's not hard to make me cry. I try to avoid it in public, but but it's not hard to a movie. I can give you a dozen movies that as soon as they come on, so I cry pretty easy. But I also get mad pretty easy. I've got this Irish temper, right? You know, so it's more like a bottle rocket. I get real spun up and get real mad, and then I'm, you know, a few minutes later, I'm fine again. Same thing. I can cry 1 minute and I can, you know, we can go out and scrap in the parking lot the next minute. It's just fine. It's okay.
No cameras.
Yeah, it's all raw emotion.
There you go. Well, that was great. We love that. We love those answers. And I think that definitely paints a picture of who we're here with today. And I love that. So
absolutely. So, you know, let's go ahead and dive into our listeners and Carlos and Mayor Hines, the meat and potatoes of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. For the listeners, Mr. Peter Masonis, I think I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. He's actually sitting off to the side, you know, and he's making sure that we're the mayor is safe, right? So he's here listening. So I just want you guys to get an idea. There are four of us in the room. He mentioned to us that you are a native to Northwest Arkansas, specifically Rogers. And for our listeners, when did your family first discover Northwest Arkansas, Rogers specifically? How did they move here? How did that go about with your family?
Yeah, so my dad's parents both grew up in Central Arkansas in Clinton and Paris in London area, and they met each other at Arkansas Tech. And they traveled up here because they heard of Wonderland Cave. And Wonderland Cave is in Bella Vista. It's a cave that used to have a nightclub in it for maybe a span of 40 years or so. It's closed down right now. It's been acquired privately by the Runway Group. They're trying to figure out ways to mitigate the bat guano and all this, anyway, you know, environmental issues. But all that said, so they came up here for a dance club party at the Wonderland Cave when they were in college. And then fast forward, my granddad's getting out of grad school in Davenport, Iowa, and they've got a little boy, my dad, who was born while they were abroad in France. And they're trying to decide, okay, where are we going to land and start, you know, plant our roots? Mm-hmm. And two things. One, there was an article in the Arkansas Democrat or Gazette. They were two different papers back then. That announced that Daisy Manufacturing was moving from Plymouth, Michigan to Rogers, Arkansas, where they would, manufacture all of their BB guns. And so it was a combination. My granddad saw that headline. They then, based on hearing moving to Rogers, Arkansas, remembered what a great time they had in college coming to this dance club inside a cave. And they thought, well, hell, it looks like things are happening there. Maybe that's a place to go. And that was in, 1957. So they moved here in the late 50s. And my dad's oldest of six kids. So a lot of generations of our family, you know, with all these sort of tentacles of knowing folks, which obviously is helpful if you're going to be in politics. And then my mom's side moved. My grandmother moved here after a divorce, and that's where my mom and dad met, and that's how I got to be born at 13th and Walnut at the old St. Mary's Hospital.
There you go.
There it is.
All because of a nightclub.
Eh? There it is. Nightclub and Daisy BB guns.
If that nightclub were anywhere else, who knows where Mayor Hines would end up, man.
That's right.
There you go. There
well, that's go. That's pretty neat. I think that's one of the first times I heard that. Look at that. What is it?
Wonderland Cave.
I didn't.
Wow.
I don't know about it. Very cool.
There's a lot of pictures online that'll take you back in the 50s.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
And my dad went there. So it was a still nightclub when my dad, you know, was 21 in the, you know, gosh, what would it, late 70s, early 80s?
Yeah.
I don't think it shut down, honestly, until the late 80s, maybe early 90s.
So we're going to fast forward. Tell us a little bit about your history. So, you know, of kind of your schooling. And from what I understand, you were one of the youngest city council members appointed here in the state. Yes. And so, yeah, tell us a little bit about that.
So I My interest in city government happened my senior year in high school. There was a teacher on campus that had founded a program called Student Government Day. And it was not unlike running for student council, but you ran for city elective offices on campus. And so you mounted campaigns. You had your posters and your candy that you're, you know, bribing people with. And then ultimately there's election day. And so I ran for mayor and was elected. And the cool part about that program was that everybody got to participate. So even if you, there were five people that ran for mayor and obviously one victor, I was able to take the other four that didn't win and appoint them to positions in the city that are not elected, like police chief, fire chief, you know, all the department heads. Mm-hmm. So everybody that wanted to participate got to participate, whether or not they won or lost their seat. And at the conclusion of the day, so you would shadow your elected for a whole day. And then they always did it on a day like today that coincides with the city council meeting. And so that night, the kids, us, me, we presided over the city council meeting, and like our electeds sat behind us and like whispered what we should say. so we totally were the meeting. Now they've since figured out that's maybe not legal, and we couldn't actually vote for the city council member. So we had to sort of scrap that and rearrange. But all that said, at the end of that meeting, the mayor at the time, which was John Sampier, he says I said it. I don't remember saying it, but we're just going to call him truthful. And that he said that I walked up to him and said, hey, you need to, you know, start brushing your resume up because I'm going to run for this job.
Oh, wow.
And and so fast forward just a few years, you know, I got elected to the city council, and I was encouraged by that mayor, by John Sampier, to run. And he was running for reelection, and the guy that that was running against him was a sitting city council member. So he created an opening, so I ran for that open seat. Womack and Sampier in a race. Womack ended up beating Sampier and was elected mayor. So I took Womack's council seat. Womack took Sampier's mayor. We served 12 years alongside that way. And then Womack ran for Congress, and I ran for mayor. And so, you know, that's kind of how all that transpired. But yeah, I mean, I ran, you know, I was 22. I didn't have any business going to City Hall, much less having a chair with a place with my name on it. But it was what it was. And I was actually seated next to my former high school principal, who was a member of the city council. And my first year of high school, he caught me in the parking lot, and like he was known to do, came up behind me, snuck up behind me, basically like grabbed me by the back of the neck and kind of shook me around. And he said, you know, Hines, this is your first year. You get three strikes, and when those three strikes are up, your ass is mine. And so, unfortunately, I never had to cash any of those in during high school. It's a miracle, but I didn't. But similarly, when I sat down next to him for my first council meeting after being elected, he said another thing that he used to say to kids and new at the high school, sit down, shut up, and keep your hands to yourself, and I'll get us through this thing. And so I did, for at least a few meetings, sat down, shut up, and kept my hands to myself until I figured out, you know, where the bathrooms were and the extra coffee grounds and, you know, how. And once I started getting a little more comfortable, obviously, I interjected my own thoughts. But that's how it got started.
Wow. Look at that. Yeah. What was going through your head? You say you were 22 at the time when you got elected. What was going through your head when you got that position as a 22-year-old?
Yeah, you know, dog catches car, right? You know, because you put so much into it. And, I mean, this is how dumb I was. So I was in a three-person race with one of the guys had been on the city council before. But he had moved and had to resign. And so but you know, you're elected at large. So people knew him really well. Great guy. The other opponent was a well-respected school teacher educator that had been in the school system for, at the time, 25 years or so. And so here I am, this kid running against one, a guy that's been on the council. So they like at least know he's trustworthy, they're like, and so, but that was back before you could really get local analytics on voting mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. Like it was all on paper and Scantron maybe. And so you couldn't get a walk list. Like today, you can go to the clerk's office and she can give you a list of everybody that voted in the last primary mm-hmm. down to the address, and then you can go knock on their doors. Well, back then that didn't exist. So I knocked on every single door in this city to ask them for support and for their vote. And I also, at the time, misread the maximum financial contribution that you could accept. And I read it as $100, but that was like cash, not check. So I raised like almost $10,000 for a city council seat, which had never been done before. And I raised it at no more than $100 at a time.
There you
go. So a lot of investors, mm-hmm. right? And I've always kind of likened running a public office is similar to going to the horse races. In the minds of voters, they don't have to love you. They don't have to think you're sharp looking or good dresser, but they want you to win because people don't want to be supportive of losers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just that we're just like humans that way, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, so this is not a complicated, social experiment. And so my theory about running political off races has always been, I don't care whether you give me a nickel or $5,000. You just bought a ticket at the horse race. Yeah. And you're going to tell everybody you know mm-hmm. what ticket you bought.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a big investment. Like I said, a nickel, just one nickel out of you. And I promise you, you're going to tell at least 5 or 10 people, hey, I gave money to that Heinz guy. That's who I'm voting for this time. And I sure think you ought to do. So you create and build a coalition of people and uh-huh. supporters because you're selling tickets to the horse race. And I think that's been kind of my strategy all along. And somehow it's worked.
I need to go to one of these horse races. Well, Mayor Heinz, so once you won, you spent X amount of days to work and knock on doors and raise money and all these things. And finally, when you heard that your name was, called, or how did that change your perspective? Like how did that change the trajectory and perspective of your life?
So I had a real estate company at the time I got elected to city council. And not shortly, within a couple of years of that, that's when I got into law enforcement. And I'd been on the part-time division at the sheriff's office, which is, a free, non-paid, kind of deal. And I was in the part-time 2 academy. And then when I decided, I decided I want to be mayor. And, unlike Cousin Eddie, who was holding out for a management position, I'm like, you can't just wait this out and then expect everybody to be like, oh, okay, well, he waited around long enough, so surely he'll do a good job. So I decided I need to get into working in the public sector
right.
to really fully come up through the ranks and understand what this is all about. And as a kid in high school, I'd worked at the golf course, and I'd already sunk a Kubota tractor in the pond and maybe ruined another piece of equipment. So I wasn't going to go work in the street department. And I'd been doing this part-time deal with the sheriff's office. And it was the same time as Clinton came out. He was the president. He came out with 100,000 new cops on the street. And so for the first time in years, Bentonville was able to expand their patrol division because they got 3 positions from the cops grants. Mm-hmm. So I, along with, 65, 70 other people tried out for those 3 spots and was fortunate enough to get the call back. And so that was super cool to be like you know, I don't even know what they paid me. I think I had to pay them, maybe. I mean, it was like working for peanuts, honestly. But being a, you know, a rookie police officer, you know, on the midnight shift in this city, a smaller city, and then being a legislator, a decision maker, an influencer in the neighboring city that was twice the size of Bentonville at the time, it was just a really neat perspective because I got to see, you know, I got to see the messages from City Hall coming down and resonating with the midnight shift briefing. And if you're someone that works 8 to 5 and Monday through Friday, and you know, it's my kid's birthday, so you won't see me next Wednesday. If you work in that kind of environment and you're trying to take a message that you've created and you want to translate that down to people showing up in the depths of night to work and watch guard over your city, and nobody gives a shit when their kid's birthday party is. You'll work when you work. And you'll be off when we tell you you'll be off. Mm-hmm. And so being able to listen to the message that was crafted at 8:15 on Monday morning and how it resonated at midnight on Wednesday gave me a great perspective to say, there's ways to do this better. And that if the person at the top doesn't understand how to message to the rookie at the bottom, mm-hmm. you're missing something here. You're missing an opportunity to capture the youngest, most aggressive of your workforce to have stake in whatever this is, you know, in the city at the time. I mean, we know what it is, but I mean, in whatever your perception of, you know, is this a culture here? Is this a, you know, is it just a job? Is it just a place to work? Is it family? Do you feel, and I would say that most people that work in the public sector for very long, they really do feel it's more than a job. It's just, it's kind of a way of life. Mm. And so I think that was probably the most unique sort of, you know, if you were to just take a snapshot of what was happening at that time, I think that was, in my mind, that's what was most important and impressive to me, is to just take that time to understand and learn all of these different operations and why we do what we do and why we tried this and it didn't work and we got to do something else. I think it's ultimately made me, put me in a position to do this job for the last 15 years in a way that I know exactly what I'm doing. Mm. You don't have to agree with me, mm-hmm. but I know exactly what I'm doing and why I'm doing it at the moment I'm doing it.
So it sounds like you're, part of your motivation is to kind of, you saw an opportunity to reform and to make it a better experience, not just for the people up top, but for everyone down below, down to the rookie. And you've been the mayor of Rogers since, I believe, 2011, correct? Mm-hmm. Besides the community and that ability to find, you know, maybe some reformations, what keeps you motivated? What kind of keeps you going every day? You mentioned it's a way of life. Is that kind of how you're a little bit motivated now, or what else keeps you there?
So what motivates me, I could have given you 5 or 6, 10 bullet points pre-COVID. I recovered from that awful experience and maybe could grasp 2 or 3 things as to what motivates me. Now, post-tornado, and, you know, obviously I had mentioned when the tornado happened that, you know, we had a lot of grace. Grace was everywhere. We were all loving each other in the community where we were and extending a lot of grace to people, but that grace would leave at some point. And she has. And so, you know, folks don't understand why they got their asphalt shingled roof replaced, but yet it's been a year and Northwest Park is not rebuilt. And, you know, the answer can't be to them, it's not an asphalt roof, okay? Right. It's a little bit more complicated than that. And we're not just negotiating with insurance companies. We're negotiating with FEMA as well. Right. And so I think, you know, post-tornado, what motivates me to want to do a good job and want to keep pressing forward for our community, besides the idea of community and the people that it represents, it's an awesome responsibility. Mm-hmm. What motivates me is that I'm not leaving here. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
3.5 years, I may not come here into this building anymore, mm-hmm. but I'm not moving. Oh, my family's not moving. And so I've got my oldest child just got married a couple of months ago. My family will expand. And I've said this for the 15 years I've been here that, again, you don't have to agree with my decisions, but I'm going to make the decisions. Mm-hmm. This is a representative republic. It's not a democracy. A straight democracy means we all get to vote every time there's a decision to be made. That's not the environment we live in. So I will make the decision. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. You may never like it or agree with it. And that's okay. One Tuesday every 4 years, the community gets to decide who gets to make those decisions. And for now, that's me. And I'm going to make them. Mm. So I'm not afraid to lead at all. But in that, if you're going to wear that all on yourself and not try to share it or push it onto, you know, we currently hear a lot about the former administration nationally. Well, how long do you get to blame somebody else for the stupid stuff you're doing today? I mean, at some point, you got to take responsibility. You ask for the job, mm-hmm. take the job and do the job and quit bitching about everybody else that did the job before you or who's going to do it after you.
Right.
Just do it. Yeah, just shut right. up and do the job. And that's what I do as mayor. I don't issue press releases and press conferences every time I disagree with some state or national or some issue. Just do the job the people elected you to do.
Yeah, that long-term investment.
It's not that hard, you know. And what's right and what's righteous is not. It doesn't hide. Like the truth doesn't make itself hard to find. Mm-hmm. It's like we as people try to complicate this stuff way more than it really is. That's how I approach the job. Do the right thing, the right time, the right way. Treat people with dignity and respect, and just. You know, the other guiding principle that I've used for years is I say, look, 20 years from now, 25 years from now, and this is me saying that 15 years ago, so 5 years, 10 years from now, you know, I'm going to be sitting on the porch with a grandchild, and they're going to be old enough to experience something in the community, and they're going to say, you know, whatever they call me, we haven't decided that yet, Papa, whatever, Grandpa, they're going to say, you know, why did you do it this way? Mm-hmm. And my goal is to ultimately always be able to give an answer versus an excuse.
Powerful. Yeah.
Because an answer means that you spent time contemplating, wargaming, figuring right. out the unintended consequences, both positive and negative, before you made a decision. Right. And you're willing to stand behind that and say, given the information I had at the time, this was the right decision.
It almost makes me think there's many people, I think, nowadays, and I'm not picking at no one
yeah.
that's listening, but I feel that there is oftentimes that victim mentality mm-hmm. where something like, for example, the example you gave is they're maybe not too happy with where things were left off. I can hear from what you're saying, you know, that's not the way to go about things. You got to get things
yeah.
done.
Yeah. yeah, just complaining about or just tearing down institutions or thing that is not heroic work.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think yeah. your take for sure is definitely 100% aligning with what I think. And I'm sure Juan Carlos can probably
yeah.
say the same thing. I mean,
yeah, I think, you know, getting involved in whatever the issue is. I mean, you know, if it's something at home or at work or your community, you know, you have to do the work to yeah. investigate, to find out what are some different options. You can't just say something to say something and then expect something else to get fixed, you know. And I think, yeah, doing the work and I in that case and really getting – that's how you make changes or that's how you right. make changes, yeah. You know, and like, you know, the mayor said, you know, you have that time to vote if, you know.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you can't complain and moan about things that are out of your control. Do what you can control. Work on the Correct. Things you can change and improve those. And eventually that will bleed out and yeah. improve everywhere else.
What's right? the serenity prayer?
I don't know it.
So I'm not in AA, but that's where it founded. But it's essentially, you know, God, I pray that you would give me the wisdom to understand, you know, the things that I have control over, the things I don't have control over, and know and have the ability to differentiate between the two.
Yeah.
And so it is. It's basically, it's a kind of a Roosevelt quote, which was, you know, do what you can with what you have where you are. Meet yourself where you're at in your environment. And like,
absolutely.
Don't get distracted about all the others, you know, focus,
yep.
Create goals, create space where you can flourish and do it.
Agreed. You mentioned something when we had the tornado and the grace that the community had, but you know, I'm very curious, you know, to your take as mayor, what was in that moment when that happened, you know, the day of or the day after, what was surprised you about the community?
You know, so it wasn't a complete surprise, first of all. But the level was the big surprise. I've lived here my whole life. I mean, you know, we've had storms. We've had little things that happen, and neighbors help neighbors. That's just the way it works. And part of that's, you know, the Rogers way of doing it. A lot of that is the culture of the South, which is just a can-do, you know, help your community in need. And so I fully expected that to happen, but the intentionality and the level of which it occurred here was phenomenal. Mm. Because it wasn't just neighbors helping neighbors. It was the folks that lived on the west side of town that wasn't hit coming down and helping maybe a little old lady that they got her address from the church or from another organization. Like, they didn't even know the people they were serving. You know, it was just folks with chainsaws just going up and down streets and clearing. Mm. And so I don't think I know I've never witnessed anything quite like that before. And in a certain way, I hope I never witness anything quite like that again. But what I really hope is that I don't forget that feeling at that moment of the humanity and the love that our community displayed.
Yeah, it's.
I remember that day.
It was crazy because I remember the night before my cousin was texting me. She was like, "Oh, Enrique, they're saying there's going to be a tornado," and I was like, "Man, they always say there's going to be a tornado. Don't worry about it." Yeah, and I went to bed that night. And then I wake up and she's like, the first thing I see is a link from her. And I was like, oh, what is this? And then I see it's just, it was walnut and it was just destroyed. And I was like, oh, maybe it was worse than I initially thought. And then the reaction, right? What you said, everyone was helping everyone. People all over the streets were just doing what they could to help our city, our town, you know? And yeah, it was definitely incredible to see it on social media, hear, you know, testimonies and stuff. So it was definitely incredible. So as mayor, Hines, I'm curious to know, kind of a two-part question. What's something people misunderstand about the job, and what's kind of been the hardest lesson you've had to learn as mayor, and how has that changed you?
Well, the hardest lesson, I think I'm going to have to go to my wife for that. She would say that... disengagement would be my biggest weakness and lesson I've had to learn. So, you know, this is as close to the people as you can get, which is what I love about city government. You know, it's one thing if you're in the state legislature, or you're in, especially if you're in Congress in D.C. I mean, like, you live there. You're there most of the time. And while you see your friends when you come home, or you might see someone in a restaurant, like, you pretty much control the conversation that's happening around you. Mm-hmm. You're pretty insulated. But here, I mean, we can't go to dinner. I can't go buy, you know, milk and eggs or with. So, you know, I've had folks in the past ask me, well, you know, how come you don't hold town hall meetings? I'm like, should I live in a town hall meeting? What are you talking about? Like that, I mean, you know, do you need an invitation to just go hang out at Supercenter or follow me there? Like, I live in a constant revolving town hall meeting. And I say that, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's real. It is what it is. And so I don't need to invite, you know, 25 angry people to come scream at me in front of the media. You know, I just have to go spend a little extra time picking the apples out and finding ones without bruises, and I'll get two or three extra ladies that come up and tell me about all the woes in their life. So, but again, that holds you to an account. I think it just creates an environment where if you're just like a decent person, just not even a great person, just a decent person, like you can't serve in this role, in this capacity, and be this disassociative, well, that's what the people say, but we're going to do it this way. You just can't, it wouldn't last long in local government if you were that type of person. Mm-hmm. And that type of person, honestly, I'll just tell you, they generally skip over city government and school boards, and they go straight to the legislatures, state and federal. So, but you don't really get that type of power hungry, I want to figure out an angle to make myself money or make my family. Right. Like, that's not what happens in city government. Nobody's right. scheming to get elected in city government to benefit themselves. Yeah,
they're in the back room rubbing their hands together.
Yeah, there's no evil genius. And so I think that dovetails into what people misunderstand about this job.
Yeah.
Is that I think, oh gosh, if you're the mayor, you can do anything. You know what? To be truthful, the mayor has a whole lot more individual authority than the governor and even the president in many cases when it comes to the affairs of the city. Obviously, the president can wage war, the president can, but I'm just saying if you just took the silos of responsibility for a mayor and a governor and a president, particularly in strong mayor council forms of government, which is what we have, mayors in America, probably the most powerful elected position. Mm-hmm. And have the most control over what I do and say today, the choices I make today, mm-hmm. can actually impact your life tomorrow. Whereas, just think about it. We're talking about the Great Big Beautiful Bill, and we're talking about all this other stuff, and immigration, but we're hearing it all, but we're just kind of like, I don't know. Do I feel any of it yet?
Nah. Right.
If I made that declaration tomorrow, a position that Rogers was going to take on any one of those fronts, your life would change. Mm. And so to me, it's the closest, most raw form of government to the people. You're held account by the people. If you have nefarious motivations for getting into local government, you're going to get rooted out. You're going to get called out and rooted out. And it comes with this awesome level of responsibility that, if done right and if nurtured and treated right, can create really cool environments, which is, cities in America, it's the best thing we got going if you really break it down. Mm-hmm.
The influence there with the mayor and the decisions you got to take is I never really thought it would be that instant, right? Like that immediate, impact to our community.
Yeah.
I thought it was like how you were saying, maybe they'll say something and then eventually it'll maybe happen, right? And I never thought it'd be kind of immediately we'd feel a sense of change within our everyday life within our community here.
It's, you can find examples to point it out. But, and that's the thing, is that even words change your experience. Because if I say something about tomorrow, you're going to hear it because I have the bully pulpit, so I can get it on all the networks.
Yeah.
And get it on social media. And your outlook tomorrow is going to be different because mm-hmm. I said this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if we say, we're going to, the next 2 weeks we're going to decide whether we bomb another nuclear site in Iran. You're just kind of like, man, that's heavy stuff. Gosh, I don't know. But, how does it affect me? Unless you've got, a member of your family flying B-2 bomb. I'm like, what I'm saying? So it's just right. When you start just really breaking it all down, I am your kids. It's like you think about a school principal. You think about, what kind of power? I got all the power in the world. They're huge responsibility.
Right.
They're overseeing, 800 to 1,200 kids at any given time. So, what they do and what they say, it matters, and it comes home to parents, and that really matters then, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the big
thing. I got a question in that could have our podcast usually released about a month and a half after we record. But I got a question. Okay. Maybe this will.
Yeah.
I've had people ask me about Walnut Street. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have people mention Walnut Street to you? Maybe fix the potholes on Walnut or make Walnut wider or anything like that.
Yeah, no. I mean, so I've been having this conversation since the day I came into office. So we passed the first bond issue we passed in my administration was the year I got elected in 2011. And we entered a contract with RDOT at the time.
Right.
That RDOT was we agreed to pay 50% of the cost, and RDOT was going to move the widening of Walnut up on its priority sheet because it was like 15 years down the road. So we do that. They start design and acquisition, and the utility relocate becomes known. I mean, it's the worst example in Arkansas. It is the most complicated utility relocation ever. And so once you really know what you have under the ground there and what has to move and where there is space to put it, it just it broke everybody's brain at RDOT. I'll just put it that way. It broke their brains.
So it's a bigger project than initially.
And then when we finally got all the right of way and we finally got the utilities moved, then they bid the process. Now, mind you, they bid the process, you know, we're 15 years out, 14 at the time, years out. This is the last year where they bid it. Well, guess what? It's more than double the cost of what their estimates were when we entered into the contract. So and mind you, it's not a city street. It's a state highway. Okay, so any responsibility for this thing. So whatever responsibility I take is just out of the goodness of our heart is the city of Rogers. Because it is up to the state to maintain that road. Well, in the meantime, take this 15 years now we've been trying to arguing over this or trying to figure it out.
Oh my.
Well, in the meantime, on RDOT, they basically said, well, that road's dead to us, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's why you don't have any milling and overlaying or restriping because they're taking that section and saying, well, it's slated for improvement. So we're not doing anything with it because it's going to get improved. Well, it's not been improved in 15. So. Yes,
I see.
It's super complicated, but here's the big deal. Here's the knee knocker that knocked me out of the gate. Is that when we got the bids back, not only was the cost over double, but in order to build the road, we could only have one lane open, one way.
Oh,
at a time.
Oh, wow.
So for 2 years, you'd have one lane going one way west, and then the next 2 years you might have one lane going one way east.
Oh yeah, that would.
And I said, not on my watch. The business owners through that corridor would be displaced. They would go out of business. There would be no sustainable way to keep those places. So the design's got to change, and we got to relook at this in a different way. So we're currently looking at redesigned ways that maybe don't add lanes, but that restrict left-hand turns. Because, look, we've already closed a whole lot of driveways. So all those repetitive driveways up and down Walnut, when we moved the utilities and acquired the right-of-way, we closed a lot of the driveway access. Right. So we've limited the driveway access on a right-hand turn. But if you eliminated the left-hand turn, basically, you would have a five-lane. Because that's the only conflict that a five-lane road really helps you with, is you have a turning lane that you get into anticipating this turn. So if you did a boulevard down Walnut, you could add trees and streetscape and have a center, you know, raised concrete with grass boulevard. Mm-hmm. And then you would make it to where you could do U-turns at signaled intersections. Mm. So you may have to go two blocks past Brahms to get back to Brahms. But you know what? You do that everywhere in the world. I mean, it's not a new concept.
Yeah.
It's a new concept to someone, you know, maybe driving their Dodge Dually truck with a pair of, you know, bull nuts hanging off of the, you know, tow hitch. And that's probably not the built environment that is our driving goal in Rogers. And so, you know, we have to play nice with everybody, but we're maybe looking at little higher elevated options as to the future of how we sort of build out this space that we call home.
Right. I'm glad I asked about Walnut because not just for
that. Yeah, it's just super complicated. And that's one of those things that, like, I can't tell that narrative in a way. It's just hard to put that
there's
down because
so
people
many,
are just like, oh, that's crap. Well, that's BS. Well, I think it's because this or somebody's getting paid. Or that. So you can't get all of the conspiracy theorists out of social media long enough to just say, these are the facts. I'm right. sorry it is what it is. I can't change it. I mean,
yeah, even if you were to tell them, it would be only one lane for 2 years. Oh, my God.
They'd be like, why is it one lane?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
Exactly. It's pretty one lane with all the potholes. I mean, like, you could just imagine. So I just kind of throw my hands up. I'm like, yeah, Walnut. I don't know. You know,
well,
State Highway.
I know I'm glad because I've wondered about Walnut.
Yeah, yeah.
My fiance, her family, many people, my friends, and I'm sure everyone has talked about Walnut.
I do have a question to kind of follow up on that, but yeah, no, that's funny. Not related to Walnut.
Mm-hmm.
I had to ask this because Francisco, which is our team lead in DST,
oh yes,
he
yes.
had asked if Rogers is going to get a Trader Joe's.
Yeah. So yeah, that's funny, and it's what's funny is like.
It's a good store, though. I will
say. People will. So, like, when I can't remember. What's the place, the restaurant right next to Bass Pro and Target?
Twin Peaks.
So, when Twin Peaks goes in, you know, I've got all of the you know, I call them the committee of the concerned, you know, a whole slew of Karens on social media saying, well, I can't believe the mayor's allowing Twin Peaks to come to our beautiful city. Like, what do you think this is? I am not a king. Like, what do you mean the mayor allowed? No, it's called you buy property and you build on it.
Right.
And it's got nothing to do with me. You know, so similarly, it's funny because we do recruit. We go out and actively recruit different franchises and businesses.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're successful in many of them. And you, mm-hmm. it doesn't take much looking around to see that. Trader Joe's, you know, my guess would be yes, it will be here. But I can tell you that it'll be an interesting fight among the big four as to where it locates.
Oh, I see.
I think they're just haven't, once they make the decision we're coming to Northwest Arkansas, I think then you'll see a lot of competitiveness. Between the four cities,
yeah.
Similar to Topgolf, similar to the Amp.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those two things were on again, off again, as much as they were on again, until they happened.
Right.
And so it's just a lot more complicated than
just saying, oh yeah, we'll
yeah. Then just call them and say, hey, come do a site visit. This looks like a great place. Right. Look at that lot. Build a treasure. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and Aldi's has a huge presence here.
That is true. Because
and an expanding presence. And so I think that is also...
That conflict a little bit,
yeah.
maybe. So.
And
well, I mean a conflict, but...
Well, it's you know, it's mutual competitiveness, but it's also a different way to test the market.
Right.
And if you grab enough market share in one, and that's how these site selectors do things. You know, if I'm a small store and I can't afford to hire a site selector and to do all this analytics, I find a box store or a big franchise that our customer base, our business model, mm-hmm. where we thrive when the economies are up and down or sideways, okay. you find the big whale and you let them do all of the site selection and analytics for you. And so if Topgolf goes here, you're going to get a this and a likely that because they follow Topgolf.
Right.
It, similar thing with Trader Joe's. They have, if we get a Cheesecake Factory, I bet it's not 2 years before a Trader Joe's come.
Right.
Oh, okay.
I mean, and that's the kind of what I'm, I we get a Costco, I bet it's not 2 years before you're going to see a Trader Joe's.
Right.
I see.
I see what you're saying.
Okay. Costco, please.
Costco. Yeah, you are a Costco guy. That's
Costco,
right.
Man.
Ah. Are you Sam's Club or Costco?
Sam's Club.
Yeah, oh, see, man. There you go. I would say Sam's Club.
I sure wore my Kirkland sweater today.
You're going to offend the mayor. You got to be careful.
I'm not against Costco at all, but I will tell you I had a negative experience. So I was in Oklahoma City taking care of my grandmother when she was sick. I've got a Sam's membership. There's a Costco. They're not a mile and a half apart from each other. I go to the Costco because Sam's was out of the product that we needed for her. And I just said, hey, you know, I know way back, like 25 years ago when I became a Sam's member, I was able to get a one-day paper pass, and I could go shop and then decide, do I want to buy a membership?
Right.
Do y'all have anything like that that you could offer where I can come
still.
In? And they're like, nope, you can buy a membership.
Right away? Oh, wow.
Okay.
I tried that.
Nice chat, Russ. You know, I mean...
it's like, what does it cost you guys? I'm about to spend my money.
I'm going to spend several hundred dollars here.
Just for, you know, not from here, you know.
And they won't do it.
No, they won't do it no more. No.
I wonder when they started doing
this. I don't know, but somebody screwed it up. This is why we can't have nice things, right? Somebody scammed them out of a bunch of, you know, membership fees, and so now we can't.
The mom went, and the dad went, and the kids went.
And the dog went.
Like, man, all these yearning memberships.
Next thing you know, Aunt Edna's got 19 things of Kingsford charcoal grill that she's wheeling out of there. Like, that doesn't seem right.
No, it was the person who got the one-day pass came back 5 years later with her mattress that they returned.
Yeah. I'm having to need a refund on this.
It's a big hole in it and everything. Like,
I got this paper pass. Yeah. No, you're exactly right. That's all those things are why we can't have nice stuff.
Oh, my goodness. That's hilarious.
Funny.
Well, Mayor, how do you measure the success? How do you stay accessible and ensure the citizens' voices in your decisions?
Well, I mean, you know, I just think I pay attention. I mean, I've got friends in all generations. You know, one of the things my dad instilled in me growing up was, and it's biblical, it's fractured biblically, but it's biblical, that you should always keep a close friend, a generation behind you and a generation ahead of you.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
That it helps you
perspective, right?
Stay grounded. And so for me, I'm entering that phase where it's probably more important for me to have a close friend, a generation behind me, because I'm getting up on that, you know, get off my lawn, stay off my porch kind of phase.
Right.
So I need to hear from young, energetic, you know, excited, hopeful, thoughtful people in order to keep my perspective, you know, rich and right.
I think the mayor gets his best insights from those Karens when he's getting his apples and his bananas from the Walmart.
Yeah. I think in some parts, well, I'll just give you an example. I was at Onyx getting coffee a couple months ago. And I've got this older person that I love her. She's been a member of our community. She's a wonderful person. But I mean, she's getting old. And we're standing there. And of course, the line's long. And then the music was kind of, you know, it was a little bit louder than normal. But anyway, I said, well, isn't this cool? I mean, isn't this great? Can you imagine? I mean, like, did you ever think this would be here? Like, one of the most premier coffee shops on the planet? Mm-hmm. Here in downtown Rogers, Arkansas? Like, isn't this awesome? And she's like, well, I just can't stand this music. And I kind of thought for a minute, and I'm like, well, you know what? I don't know that I really like it either. You know, I'm thinking in my head.
Yeah.
But then I looked at her and I said, you know, I don't know that we were the target demographic when they were designing this environment. You know? So they're probably okay that we don't like their music, but we're still willing to come buy the coffee. You know?
Oh, I love that. That's so
I feel that way about downtown. When I hear people complain about, you know, well, I can't park in front of the store I want to go in. I got to park five, you know, two blocks down. I got to block. Like, that means that we're actually have something cool downtown that people want to see.
Yeah.
But have you ever traveled anywhere, like, on purpose? Have you ever paid for plane tickets to go travel somewhere that you got to that place and, like, you could go and park anywhere you want? And no, nobody does that. Yeah. Because that's shitty places, right? I mean, you pay money to go to cool spaces and places that create, you know, experiences. So the fact that you can't park in front of the store you want to in downtown Rogers, that is evidence to me that I'm winning. That what my goal, my mission, my view is winning.
I like that.
Because that's the whole idea. The idea is that you park as far away as you park to get a gallon of milk at the Supercenter.
Very true.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is as far as you can go because they put the milk all the way to the back of the store. Why? So that you have to walk through the entire store past everything else that they want you to buy to get your milk. It's same, right? Walk to the milk. It's beautiful. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Just put your
yeah. Just put your AirPods in.
Yeah.
Get you a little step and get your pep in your step and just and walk it.
Yeah. I mean, you got to reach for 10,000 step goal anyway. So
I don't know what's going on.
That's so hilarious.
Oh, that's really funny. It's I will say I love your insights and your responses here. Very, very funny. I can always appreciate that. So, you know, something we like to do on the podcast, Mayor Hines, is we love to highlight Northwest Arkansas. We are pretty big advocates of our local community. But let's say you had a friend from out of state. They've never been here before. Where's the first place you're going to take them to Northwest Arkansas?
Onyx.
Yeah, well, it's definitely downtown Rogers. And, you know, it likely includes, you know, either stopping in coffee at Onyx, or Iron Horse, and then probably venturing down to Lake Atlanta, mm-hmm. For, you know, either a bike or walking tour. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then grabbing a bite somewhere downtown, either, you know, Blue or Levi's or Casa de Alejo, or I'm a huge fan of Las Palmas and the Rail and Parkside and, you know, Havana. Mm-hmm. I mean, Havana in pre COVID, I think 2019, Havana was on the top 100 Yelp restaurants in the country.
Oh, wow. Yep.
So I didn't grow, you know, haven't been to Cuba, would hopefully like to make a trip there. It's a bucket list item, but we've hosted folks that are Cuban refugees and mm-hmm. become citizens. And the ones we've taken there, specifically, I'm thinking of some consultants that were in from New York. And we took them there for dinner before going to a concert at the Rail Yard. And they were overwhelmed.
Mm, really?
At how good the food was. They were like, this is as close to being home as we can.
Oh, wow.
Can
that's such a good. Yeah.
So that's super cool. And then when we leave Havana and we take them down to the Rail Yard for the concert that night. It was a cover band concert. And these folks are going out to nightclubs in New York all the time. They're young folk, you know, they're under 30, and they were blown away at the talent of the cover band we had that night at the Rail Yard, saying there's nothing like this any better on the Chelsea Pier anywhere. So, you know, validation of those sorts of things.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Cool. Such a good comment. Man, that's cool. Cool, cool, cool. Mayor, what is one of your favorite Northwest Arkansas spots? Doesn't have to necessarily be in Rogers, just generally. Where can we find you on the weekend?
Oh, so that's a good question. You know, there's a lot of what Northwest Arkansas has offered that I love. But I'd say that I'm kind of a homebody, honestly. Yeah. If I'm not working or at an event, you know, my backyard is my oasis. I'm gonna, you know, at this time of year, I'm gonna be floating in the pool, watching whatever ball game's on.
Nice,
and you know, trying to figure out what to go eat for dinner. But there's a lot of what Northwest Arkansas has, though, that is intriguing to even someone that was born and raised here. You know, I love Arvest Ballpark. I love getting to go watch Naturals games. I wish more folks would go. And just the casualness, I'll go to any minor league baseball game in the country. It doesn't matter what city I'm staying in. If they have a minor league team, I'll go to a ball game because they're always fun.
That's cool. That's cool.
So, I you know, the natural amenities, though, are hard to beat. I mean, that's the secret to the sauce. It's what gets everybody. So we get them here with a job offer. We keep them here because of the natural amenities. When you add Northwest Arkansas amenities together, not individual cities, together, we pretty much, there's not much we're missing.
Right, I agree. Mm-hmm. And that's usually the take that most people give us when we ask them that question.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, I had, yesterday was my 29th wedding anniversary, and Sunday was. And so
congratulations.
Thank you. Look, married the smartest girl in my class, which is usually not the most beautiful one, but it just happened to work out for me that way. And she, you know, she had one mental failure, and that was the moment she said yes, and now she's stuck with it. But 29 years, you know, it's a while to be together. But we were at brunch at Ruth's Chris, and I was just lamenting that, you know, it used to drive my grandmother from Oklahoma City nuts that we had a Ruth's Chris and they don't in Oklahoma City.
Awesome.
There's not one in Oklahoma.
Even now? Or
no, they still don't have a Ruth's Chris.
Really?
In Oklahoma City.
Oh, wow.
And then Sunday to be sitting there, and I'm like, not only do we have a Ruth's Chris in Oklahoma City, doesn't we now have the largest Ruth's Chris? We have one of only a handful of two-story Ruth's Chris in the whole country. So, yeah, pretty special place.
So, Mayor, we're wrapping up here in the episode. We got about just a few more minutes.
Okay.
In our podcast, we leave each guest leaves a question for the next guest. That's kind of a way to tie in our episode. And this was left by Mariah Newman. Her question to you was, what is it that sets your soul on fire?
My familiar relationships. I mean, my family. It's the most important thing to me. Earthly, it's the most important thing to me and always will be. You know, I love the work that I've been able to do. I love the work that I am doing. I'm inspired by the future and want to be a part of that. That's why I'm still here for another term. Mm-hmm. But this job's not what defines me. It's not what makes me who I am. It's not an identity that I'm fearful of losing or not having. It's what lights me on fire.
I love it. Family. There it is.
Family. Yeah, it's family's important for sure.
Oh, definitely.
And just being there for them. Being there at the right place at the right time.
Great answer. Great answer. Well, now, Mayor, it is your turn to leave a question for our next guest. It's, again, you don't know who it is. I don't know who it is, but it can be any question you like.
So the Rogers Public Library Foundation did a campaign about 12 years or so ago. And it started out with I geek. You know, you pick what do you geek?
Okay.
And I guess it ultimately is what do you geek on?
So okay, what does that person geek on? Yeah. Okay, and then like okay.
I'm gonna say Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, that's been a long time since I played that game.
Well, folks, Mayor, thank you again for your time. You know, as we wrap up the episode here. It was a pleasure. I mean, you're a funny guy. You're passionate about what you do. I think very approachable, you know, very welcoming and just good conversation. So thank you again for giving us this opportunity to, you know, just to speak with you. Like I was telling Peter here earlier, one of the things about this podcast is, you know, I'm a native here in Rogers, but man, sometimes I just don't even know the people in the sense controlling the town or working in the town. Just opens up your mind, relationships and everything. So I think thank you again for your time.
Pleasure's mine. Hey, getting to spend time with folks that love Rogers and love Northwest Arkansas. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank
grateful,
you so much.
Definitely grateful. But folks, thank you again for tuning in here. You can find us on Instagram at SoNWA Podcast. You know, tune in next time for our next guest. Take care, everybody.